Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Breeder Syndicate.
How you doing, Clint?
Good, how you doing?
Yeah,
every so-called liquid silica product is made from potassium silicate, and that's where your pH issues come into play, or problems with raising the pH. So we can get it from other sources. A couple of the posters here mentioned rice hulls, and that's true. There's even a powdered rice hull product that Build-A-Soil carries. I can't remember the name, but I've used it, and it did well. One person asked a very legitimate question, is it even necessary?
Yeah.
And it depends. Like in my worm bins, I run a lot of rice hulls as an aeration material. So when that deconstruct, it's releasing the silica oxide. I believe that's the form it's in. So would I add it to my soil? No. But, you know, so that question isn't, you need some silica in your soil. And if you use it judiciously, and get like the AgSil product, because that's what all the other ones, like the silly one from the guy Advanced Nutrients, Wet Betty or some silly name.
Yeah.
Even a sillier label, but it's made from AgSil. I mean, all those products that you see in the grocery store, or what I call the house of perdition, they're all made with eggs. So get AgSil, and,
yeah,
you know, and then cut the chase. And it's in a powder form, so you mix on an as-need basis. And it's good for emulsifying horticulture oils. I don't want to get into that mess, neem or coriander oils or whatever. But, yeah, and I still use them, and they're full of crap. The people, you know, you got to learn the difference between an extract and a pressing. But, you know, that's like trying to explain why is it called unsulfured and not desulfured molasses. And if you can't wrap your brain around that one, then I don't want to talk to you about the differences between an extraction and using solvents and a pressing that goes back at least 3,000 years to, you know, whatever. I'll get off my soapbox.
How do you feel about like power SI, the ortho-silicic acids and monosilicic acids, stuff that's not from potassium silicate?
You know, to be honest with you, I'm a real minimalist. If you looked at my recipe, the biggest criticism is, well, there's no there there. Well, it's all in the worm castings. Mm-hmm. You know, I think everybody should recycle their kitchen waste. And if you don't do that, you should have to be forced to listen to some TV show that's really horrible or something. But it's not going to give you a worm castings. It's too much water. And as magical as worms are, they can't turn water into castings. Yeah. So you need bulk, and that comes from either aged manure, and by that we mean 5 to 6 weeks to allow the vermicides that are given livestock for, you know, like we do dogs, you worm them, right?
Yeah.
Well, those vermicides kill the good guys in our worm bin, so you need to let that sit for about 5 to 6 weeks, and that'll degrade into a form, into its basic ionic structure, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's no longer a vermicide. It's carbon and hydrogen and oxygen and all those good things. So we want to use that. That gives us bulk. And that's how you make good castings.
It's through bulking.
Yeah. Well, yeah, bulk, the stuff that had, there's some, I'll leave it at that. Yes. A good bedding that's been elevated with nutrient-dense materials like small amounts of alfalfa meal, kelp meal. I like to run neem and karanja. This you might find interesting. Karanja is actually a legume. It's closer to a alfalfa plant than it is the neem tree, which is a mahogany. And the properties in those two materials couldn't be more different. There's no shared constituent. Azadirachtin comes from neem, and Pongamia oil comes from karanja.
I'm not familiar with karanja. What is that used for?
Well, in India, it's the preferred one for medicines for skin products. And India has some of its own race issues, the belief that lighter-colored citizens are more intelligent than darker, and it's said to be used to lighten the skin tone. I know that it can remove... But if you went into an Indian market and went to the Hava section, everything would have either neem or karanja in it, you know, shampoo, toothpaste. But over here, if you get touched with neem, you're going to fall over dead or something, or, you know, you can't go to the Rose Parade or something. I don't know. But, I'm a big, neem's been, if you looked at the Ayurvedic medical system, you know, you have the TCM, traditional Chinese, well, India has the Ayurvedic. And 72% of the bottled compounds, you know, elixirs and stuff, 72% have some part of the neem tree, root, bark, leaf, oil. And it's behind the Tulsi basil, which is a forerunner of all basils, like the wolf is to the our canine friends. Well, this one, okay, it's the most holy plant in India, is the Tulsi. And then neem is the second one. So, anyway,
there
you go.
I didn't know that at all.
Look up sometime neemresearch.ca. It's nothing to do with gardening, nothing.
Okay.
It's all about human health, diabetes, viruses, all kinds of things. You can rub the oil on your feet as a cure or a prevention of athlete's foot if you do a lot of running or, you know, whatever.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's been around for 5,000 years, but suddenly 18 months ago became a, you know, point of discussion at Canacon and Endo Expo, you know. It's just silly, you know, whatever.
All this is appreciated. There's people asking all kinds of questions.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to dominate that, but...
Oh, no worries. No worries. I'm enjoying it. Let's see. Why is my worm casting running hot in sodium? And then, and you think I can push out sodium with calcium gypsum?
No, because gypsum is simply calcium sulfate. And it's calcium in its elemental form, whereas the calcium we get in, say, limestone or oyster shell, that's calcium carbonate. So there's one calcium ion there's one carbon ion and then three oxygen ions in calcium carbonate. But in this, in gypsum, you're getting calcium by itself, and then you get sulfur oxide, which is water soluble.
Yeah.
And so when, and like, let's say you're using core, one thing that has to be, you know, acknowledged is that it's an inert medium. That's why it's preferred if you're going to use salts, but in a organic soil, it's a nightmare. So
yeah.
What you want to do, the big one that it's missing is sulfur. And without sulfur, sulfur is at the base of almost every metabolical function on this planet, including the production of terpenes, terpenoids, and ketones. So it'd be a really good idea. Have you ever read, I'm using corn, I can't get any flavor, and I don't get any aroma. Okay, to put a half a cup of gypsum, you know, and say a cubic foot, and there you go, you're dancing.
Yeah, yeah, that's something I had to learn on my own too, to add sulfur, some kind of sulfur too, because I use core, that's all I use.
Right, so I like a mix. I like to add in a calcium carbonate, like limestone or oyster shell, it doesn't matter, same thing. And then a little bit of gypsum, so I'm getting my elemental calcium along with my calcium carbonate. And then I'm also picking up some gypsum. So I think that's a good balance. If you're, I don't like using this term, but a liming agent, if you will.
Yeah.
For lack of a better one.
Okay, we have a request here on the history of the strain, the one, which is one I've been fascinated with for a long time myself.
Okay, pretty simple. In Laguna Beach in the late 60s and early 70s, before the whole LSD, the Orange Sunshine thing, took them apart, you know. It's one thing to taunt a dog behind the fence with a stick, but you don't want to do that with the federal government.
Yeah, that's,
especially when you move it in containers of hash. Okay, those are like 48,000, you know, I mean, these guys weren't just the dude that, we got to see the dude and get some stashed it tonight, you know, this is like, you know, you got to buy, even then, 10 kilos to even communicate. But anyway, so the seeds came, a lot of the guys, because they're in the BOL, there was like, it had to be 13, right? 13 original founding members. That was a given. Okay.
Yeah.
And so seven were part of this ragtag motorcycle club that used to hang out at this really weird bar not far from Disneyland. They were just, you know, drinkers and, you know, like rowdy bikers. It was the 60s, man. So there was also this group of surfers in the mid 60s that were traveling around the world, as it was easy to do, maybe easier than today. And they went surfing, and the surfing spots all had somebody there with good weed. So they started bringing some good weed back because they knew how to patch their boards. So they could make a hole in the board and stash in a pound or two. And so that's, then the two got together and then the whole thing. So the seed that I had were from Kandahar, 1970. And I don't know exactly who brought them in, the whole story. Okay, so then I went off to the Army and got drafted, you know, kicking and screaming to send the women and children first. But off to save the world, make it safe for democracy. Mm-hmm. So I came back in the December of 1976, the first Thai sticks came in.
Okay.
And they came in 10 kilo bales. 20 of those pounds were sticks. And since Amia was still 2 or 3 years away, so they were seedy, is all get out. And there was then 2 pounds of loose buds that, of course, had to be renamed the Buddha buds. You know, you gotta,
I've heard of that.
Yeah, okay. So those seeds became the first crop I ever did that summer in 77. And there was no grow stores. There was no new program. I'm not even sure I would know what to do if I had a bottle of Maxi or Miracle-Gro or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But I understood that you had to water plants. And that was before the banking laws. You could walk into a car dealer and buy 4 Celicas if you want and pay cash, and it was no big deal.
Yeah,
that
no
came
flags.
Later in the Reagan administration, like, you know.
Yeah.
Just say no, that crowd. So that was the female. And there were 10 plants that were selected out of this mass. I'm not a breeder, so if I told you, you guys would be laughing. So this was like flying by the seat of my pants. Just be real honest about it, you know.
Well, that's early on, though. No one was really...
Oh, there were no seed companies, and the guys in California were still dinking around with goofy names, you know.
Yeah.
I had a couple, but I would have named. That's another story. So that one, the way it got the name was that they were all against the wall, and they went from sativa over to Afghani dominant, which I had no interest in at all. So I just said, okay, the one over here is mine. And so, it's like the one, huh? No, it's like the one over here is mine. Okay, so that became a running joke, you know. You still got the one? Yeah, still got the one. And so that's just like, you know, it has nothing to do with, I thought it was like, oh, yeah, it's like the one. No, I've had the one that came from Sri Lanka, and I didn't want to ever smoke weed again. It was like that far out, you know. It was like...
yeah.
Some Hindus, I mean, real Hindu, not, you know, you picked it up in New Delhi, I mean, like in the Kush Valley or something, you know, from the Sadhus.
Yeah.
So that's all the, you know, no big deal. And, but ironic is that I've given that way. I've never sold a clone in my life. The last time I sold a seed was 77.
That's early. That is early.
Yeah. Thai seeds, you know, because I had them.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I learned early on that if I was going to take the risk of being a serious consumer of cannabis, that you might as well do the good stuff.
Right.
So I would sell, like, I know you think I'm lying, I'm not, but say I would get fronted like a ton or two of Colombian from guys in Detroit with way too many vowels in their last name. And they'd give you like 2 months to turn it.
Yeah.
And so our motto was, I don't want to own it. I just want to fingerprint it, meaning, you know, bump it 25, 30 bucks.
Yep.
And just keep it, you know. So then I would turn around then and go buy like premium Mishmacon or Oaxacan Spears for personal. And you went to Sears and got a deep freezer so I could freeze it. You know, so I could buy 3 or 4 pounds, you know, that kind of stuff.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. So that was, and I, you know, can I just say one thing about skunk number one?
Sure.
I mean, going back to the like original in the mid 80s.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
What do you mean? As far as like why it's called skunk in the first place?
It's like, I just don't get the whole thing about it. I mean, why, like, it's that desirable.
Oh, okay. Now I understand that one.
Okay, all right.
I can understand that one.
Okay, it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
One of my favorite lines is somebody will give me a bud to try. What do you think? And I'll say, so did you clone this more than twice? Why? Yeah.
It's made it through 3 rounds, what?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, come on. One nice thing about growing an old strain is that you really can test the soil, because you can't test the soil. Oh, this time I'm going to do, I don't know, Skittles or Piddles or whatever it's called, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then over here, well, I'm going to try this soil, but I'm going to use, I don't know, cookies or whatever the thing is, you know, whatever the hot button is. But with me, I mean, I can tell you by day 24, I'm not going to finish this. I appreciate you letting me try it, but, you know, best wishes, go back to the drawing board. So that, and so in my opinion, which means nothing, is that at least if I test something for you, I can give you an accurate comparison analysis of one that I've, you know, grown like forever.
Yeah.
The main reason people don't like mine is that if you really want to get the full, you know, Twilight Zone theme comes on right here, you got to do at least 12, if not 14 weeks. And here's the best part. This is the part I love the best. I've taken it 18 weeks just to see what it would take to get the trikes to turn, even cloudy. It doesn't ever happen. Never. So you're never going to get the amber. Forget that one. All right.
Yeah. Let alone cloudy.
No, it never goes cloudy. Even outdoors, like 7 months, where you, like Southern California, where you can take it through November into December.
Yeah.
It never, no, it never goes cloudy.
That's
that
wild.
Has to be the Highland tie. That has to be.
I would think so. Maybe have you tried like way less light hours, like 6 hours light?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I still didn't do it?
Over the years, I've done every,
I imagine
when I was ignorant, got into that, well, you know, you need this bulb. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
This bulb will make it finish. Yeah.
Huh?
This bulb will make it finish.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah,
Eric.
Yeah.
You need this magic stuff. What's in? I can't tell you. It's proprietary. Excuse me? You know. So. But anyway, that's my, you know, just a guy that decided to get into soil real serious and figure out. I have posted on my IG feed of a soil test that I mixed 5 years ago. Uh-huh. And it has all the NPK, it has all the macro and micro nutrients. And yeah, we're a little weak in the micro, so what? Throw some kelp in there. That's why kelp's the perfect one, because it's a plant, right? And it accumulates all 83 elements, more importantly, in the right balance. So if we don't go nuts, that's adding some kelp will take care of all our micronutrient issues.
Wow. I didn't even know that.
It's the only brown kelp.
Makes sense.
Not blue marine algae, not red, but green. I mean, green and red, but brown. Only brown is the only organism on this planet that creates algenic acid. And I'll leave you for research on that, but you can see why brown kelp has algenic acid. Seaweed extract is created by law under federal USDA regulations. It has to be created with either sodium.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hydroxide or potassium hydroxide, the stuff they use in Drano to clean out your drain. So they use that and they burn everything off. So what are you left with? You're left with powder. You got your elements. So you might as well just do salts. See what I mean?
Yeah.
All the life force is gone.
Yeah.
But it's convenient. But at a convenience that is detrimental to your soil, in my opinion. I don't want to put a fungicide in my soil after I've spent several months building up the nutrient and fungal profile in my compost before I ever hit a worm bin.
Can I ask you, are you self-researched and you just delved into it hardcore and learned it all on your own? Are you
a PhD? No, I'm academically,
I was going to say, this is pretty heavy academic stuff.
Yeah, but the real stuff is that you have to do it. You have to get your hands dirty. There's no bottled solution. It's hard work. And if you want to have scratch in the game, you got to do it. And be consistent. Don't be my phone, because we released my product today.
So, oh, good.
Hey there, it's Patty.
The one with
how you doing, hon?
Malted barley, malted or heirloom corn, and hemp seeds.
And where can people get this?
Oh, Build a Soil. It's called. Don't laugh. I named it. So.
Oh no.
I want to sound cool. Gnarly barley.
Gnarly barley.
Yeah, it's 50% barley, and it's 30% corn. That's for the cytokinins.
Yeah.
And then the hemp, which I could spend a couple of days explaining all the enzymes and compounds. Well, you know, it kind of goes like this. If it works good on a plant, it's probably good for you, and vice versa.
That's interesting.
Ouch.
Benefits from the hemp seed, and all mulching means nothing more than this. It means that you took a seed and you germinated it. And then you arrested it at about 116 Fahrenheit. What that does, it leaves the enzymes intact. So we call that diastatic malt. Now, if we take that malt after it's dried and ready to store use, and we caramelize it for flavor or aroma for ales and what have you, that's great. But it kills all the enzymes. So now we call that non-diastatic malt. And if you use non-diastatic malt in your beer formula, then you need to add the diastatic malt, because you can't make beer without amylase as the main player enzyme in the barley. But that's not what we benefit from. Can I explain this? Wow. Because this is really important. This is a hot button with
sure.
Okay. So all plants produce chitinase. And chitin itself is an acetyl form of glucosamine.
Okay.
All seashells are made from limestone or calcium carbonate. Okay.
Okay.
But the crustaceans, the crab, the lobster, the shrimp, mm-hmm. and I guess that would also include the one in the south, crawdads.
Yeah.
Have chitin. And chitin, for example, if you had surgery, either oral or external, they probably mm-hmm. sewed you up with chitin string.
Okay.
That goes back to like the 1880s. This has really got an interesting connection. So in 1922, this young man by the name of Albert Hofmann graduates from Cologne University, and his paper mm-hmm. is on the molecular structure of chitin. And then 21 years later, he would introduce or find LSD-25. And then 15 years after that, he was commissioned to do the research on these mushrooms out of Oaxaca. And he's the one that gave the name to the two compounds, psilocybin and psilocin. So in a 15-year period, here he does LSD-25. Read his book, LSD, My Problem Child.
There you go. Write it down, guys.
That's a great book. And then, anyway, so the only thing that can deconstruct microbially, that can deconstruct a polysaccharide is fungi. Bacteria, in their weak attempt to try to deconstruct it, create an enzyme called chitinase. And chitinase deconstructs eggshells in the soil. So that's kind of cool. You don't have to use a poison.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then equally important, animal kingdom and plant kingdom have immune systems. And in plants, you have like HAR, hormonal acquired resistance, and SAR, systemic acquired resistance. And some of them are called pathways. The most important pathway in a plant's defense system is the chitinase salicylic acid pathway.
Mark, this is Patty.
Okay.
And every plant produces salicylic acid.
Doing like an interaction.
Some plants produce copious amounts, like the aloe vera plant.
So,
you've probably heard in your career, you can use willow shoots. Okay, well, that's salicylic acid. So
And so that's why people would use aloe vera for...
That's why I know it started that. I said, look, man, I'm not climbing a tree. I can go to a Mexican market and get a fresh aloe vera leaf, and you just cut off the spiny stuff on the sides, and you stick your stems in there inside the gel. Let it sit overnight, and the next day, put them in. I don't want to get into that one, but however you do your cuts.
Yeah.
And that salicylic acid creates a barrier against pathogenic fungi, your molds, and all that. I average seriously over 98% success using just that. And the best one is you can find true, like the sign on the side of the road that says honey. So it's never been touched.
Yeah.
It's just use straight honey.
Straight honey to root?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no clue about that.
Yeah. It's really cool. But you got to get organic, because what they do to honey from the time they pull it from the beehive till it gets in that jar with the little bear, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's a sad story. You know, it's not like the real deal, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's why if we use malted grains in our soil, the chitinase, you don't have to go through the expense of using crab meal, because what you're really after is the chitinase, not the chitin.
Yeah.
So here you get it right in the malted grains along with urease, urea, protease, protein, phosphatase. What cannabis grower doesn't obsess about phosphorus, right?
Yeah.
Much to their peril, usually.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but you get the idea. I mean, so there's like 360 enzymes in a malted grain. So what I can do and have done is I can document, okay, here are the enzymes. You could take something out from under your fingernail and put it in water and say, it's got enzymes. Well, yeah, okay. but I can explain each one and how they work. And I'm only taking like 10 out of the 360 that are in barley. So, and then you add corn with the cytokinins and what that does to between the tip of the root system and then the meristem at the end of the branches is quite a phenomenal study. And the first cytokinin was discovered in corn in 1937. And the Latin name for corn is zea. So they named this enzyme zeatine.
It makes sense.
Yeah. So that's, and there's other PGRs and other things in the corn besides that one enzyme, or excuse me, hormone.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Salicylic acid. I was just thinking.
Botany 101, I probably bored your audience there, but.
No, I think everybody's fucking loving it, to be honest with you. I love it. I'd love to have you on anytime you are bored, want to come on. I know it's a real treat for me and everyone else. So I really appreciate it
because I like talking to gardeners instead of salesmen, you know.
Yeah, man. It's a pleasure and an honor to have you on.
Have you ever looked at my feed?
Your what?
My
feed? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
you've seen some of the plants?
Yes.
Okay. That one, that 10 and a half pounder.
Yes.
Don't you think it's a little disingenuous to come on my feed and tell me what I should be doing?
Oh my good Lord. Yeah. Yeah. That's everybody's a scholar and botanist.
Feed, right.
Yeah.
What
right.
Sometimes I want to say is maybe like do more reading and not so much editorial stuff, you know, till you kind of, I figured I've been involved in at least 325 serious gardens in my career.
Yeah, I mean, imagine so, dude.
Hey, the first slice I ever bought was from George. Oh, yeah, it was called George Cervantes then before he became Jorge. He had a place here in Portland. It was one of three grocery stores in Portland at the time. That was it. And we went and bought these Dutch lights from PL Light Systems.
Okay.
The professional stuff. I was going to burn down my house in Orange County, California, you know, trying to grow some weed. So we decided there was, you know, funding was available. I'll leave it at that. So we decided to set it up first cabin. And I was using, what do you call them? Oh, Dosatrons 33 years ago.
That's funny.
Yeah. And buying like full jugs. I think they were 5 gallons. Yeah. Dynagrow and Dynabloom. We'd ride down to, there was some in the Bay Area, like San Jose, something like that.
Yeah.
And so we just put the Dosatron inside the jugs. And then I did this drip system. I mean, by today's standard, you guys got it made. I mean, it's all off the shelf and plug and play for the most part, you know. We had to kind of like, so how are we going to do this? Oh, the one time pulling stuff out of the field and staging it next to the pickup trucks. And the guy that was like our leader, I called him OP8, our personal hero. And in this case, I just said, hey, Thumbdick, have you given a thought where you're going to dry this? And everybody just looks down at the ground like, oh, man. And we were using bull tacos to go back into the forest to get the plants where I can bring them back and stage them, you know.
So, Jorge Cervantes, I know he's friends with some of the Northern Lights crew. Did you interact with those guys at all?
No, not at all, because that came out of what they called the BCGA, the British Columbia Growers Association. And the NL came out of Canada on a guy that broke. See, the BCGA wasn't going to do business with any of the two groups that came out of Holland, the what is now called Sensi Seeds. Then it was called the SSSC. Yeah. And then Neville and his partner, David Watson.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they wandered around and everybody had cash, you know.
Yeah.
Briefcases full of cash, and they were buying seeds and cuts. So
the
Northern Light came out from a grower in Canada that said, hey, man, you know, you cut hay when the sun shines. You got money, I'm selling. So that's how the NL thing went over to Neville's deal, the seed bank. That was the only time I ever bought seeds in my life. I bought them one time. Hayes Northern Lights. And
did you find any keepers in it? Did you find good stuff in it?
I never bought another seed again in my life.
Every story I hear about older growers that were growing the Northern Lights Hayes in its heyday, they all have very, very fond memories, and they talk about how many keepers were found that became like well-known clone onlys that are still around nowadays.
Well, there is a caveat to my comment. I want to make this is really important. Here's where you're getting conflicting things. In a case that I was indirectly, I wasn't involved, but I was on the possible list of come talk to us back in Boston. And in discovery, it came out that the DEA and the U.S. Postal Service was intercepting letters from the seed banks to customers here, and they were switching it out with ditch weed seeds.
So fuckers.
This was in discovery. This is what they came to the, you know, here's our evidence, whatever they call it. I'm not an attorney, but
so
they all sit around before they do lunch or something and decide how they're going to screw you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, then that just like it clicked. But have you ever noticed how many times in your life you've been back in the forum day before social media,
sure.
Like IC Mag or Grass and all that? People go, well, my plants sure don't look like the pictures from the seed bank. And I just used to think, I don't even want to open this can of worms, man. I just, I'll be hated on forever for spilling that one.
Oh, but, people are going to realize their collection's worthless, and then they're going to really dislike the messenger. Yeah,
exactly. So, but no, that's, honest to God, I was like, I just went, well, that party's over, you know, so let's go back to square one. And the seeds that we know, because we know who brought them into the United States and the whole history and who had possession of them and everything else. So I don't have a lot of confidence. One breeder here, a farm or whatever they call them, gave me 13 samples in those little jars with, you know, probably hold, I don't know, half a gram or half an ounce. It had them all. Gorilla glue. Girl Scout cookies, to this.
Yeah.
So I had put them in a bag and I brought them home. They were going to hire me as a consultant. And so my wife's in the kitchen cooking dinner, and I sat down in the living room and I opened one up and I smelled it. I went, God, that's really terrible. But, you know, you never know. So pulled out a nug and I busted it up and I put it in my pipe and I got half a hit. And I just put it down. It's ridiculous. My wife comes around the corner. And she goes, what's that smell? And I said, oh, it's, and I don't want to name it because I'll get, you know.
Yeah.
But it's one that everybody has to have or you're just a complete dickhead, right? If you're not growing this one, you're a dickhead. Okay.
Yeah.
And I just said, and so I, you know, I was really polite, but I said, and I called the next day. I said, I just don't see any connection. I mean, what are we going to do? Like, redo your soil? I mean, there's just more issues here than I can even.
Yeah.
I need like the biggest spreadsheet known to God to even get into the science of why this thing's fucked up. So, yeah. I wish you the best. And sure enough, one season was over. That was the first year it went legal here. There was funny money everywhere from Asian banks, from European banks. I mean, it was insane. And who did they hire? A grow store clerk? That's your grow guy? Really? Oh, good. Well, you need another CalMag lockout to handle this one, you know.
Yeah, there's no purpose in consulting for someone that's going to hire idiots all along the side of you to perform, you know, complex shit.
Yeah, and I'm enough of an egotist and a clown. I just don't tolerate fools lightly. I mean, hey, go do whatever you want. I wish you the best, you know, instant karma, yeah. Whatever, you know, yada, yada, yada. But I'm here to grow real medicine.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not here to
the whole hemp industry is like that, too. The whole hemp industry, I had just made my entrance into the hemp industry last year, and I was shocked at how many people are playing grower in that. I really thought, I never fucked with it because I figured there are people that are better than I would be at doing it because they've been studying specifically hemp longer, working with it longer. I figured they had that shit fucking dialed in, and boy, was I confused when I got in there and saw the people were just playing, constantly playing.
I don't know. All I know is that I know
wild how to grow
plants without, you know, cartwheels and, you know, proprietary this and I can't tell you that. And, you know, I mean, think about it this way. The issues facing the human race isn't whether Johnny gets his dank on. It's how are we going to feed people? And if this crap worked, they'd be sitting in front of the UN picking up checks for billions of dollars on solving world hunger, right?
Right.
I mean, to me, it's that simple.
It is that simple.
So that's why, like on my new product, I'm donating 2% of my compensation to an agency that plants forest around the world. So
that's beautiful.
I just think, hey, I want everybody to get their dank on it. And if some like newt line, I want to do a line called Coots Newts, spelled COOTS with NOOTS, Coots Newts, you know. And I'll just put crap in it and say, look, this is what you want. I'm feeding your deal, man, your dharma, whatever it is you think you have to do to grow a plant. I don't know.
We got a minute left.
Thank you very much, and goodbye, everybody.
It's my honor to have you on, and I'd love to have you on again anytime, man. Pleasure.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, friend. What a treat that was. Fuck, he's so smart. I'm going to have to go rewatch that several times. Thanks for everyone stopping in, and thanks again to Coots. That was our first conversation that we've had. It was a privilege and an honor. Take care, guys.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.